Hey everybody, welcome to my podcast show called Health Beat. My name is Brian Hazelgren, and this show is all about topics related to health and wellness and developing a positive lifestyle. We discuss topics about healthy living, and the show is full of ideas, innovations, science, and discussions with experts for the very best possible solutions to take care of your body and mind. It's time for you to feel better and look better and learn more about what's out there to help you achieve better health and wellness. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen to Health Beat. Let's get started. Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time you're listening to Health Beat today. Again, my name is Brian Hazelgren. It's an honor to be with you as always. So glad that we can be together for a little bit of time here today because we've got an important topic to discuss, not only for, as you'll hear more about what we're covering today with our particular topic for a certain age group, but really for health and wellness as it relates to digital technology and how we can find out for our own selves and for our loved ones how things are going, what their health and wellness, what even our health and wellness may look like by wearing a simple device. And I've got one on my wrist right here. You can see it if you're tuning in to view the video. If you're hearing it on the audio side, you'll just have to imagine that it looks like a watch that is digital. And we're going to be discussing that particular device and the services on the back end today. I think it's just important for us to remember that, you know, this program is all about health and wellness and why it's so important for us to constantly be vigilant about taking better care of our mind and our body. And today we've got a really cool discussion to jump into that is really top of mind for really any age group. This particular product or device is something that I've been wearing now for quite some time. And I love the fact that I can look at my own personal health and my well-being and see where I'm at and see where I can also make some changes if necessary. But let's jump into, first of all, introducing Scott Peterson, a good dear friend of mine and a colleague. Scott is the Executive Vice President of Operations for RX to Live. And Scott, welcome to the show today.
I appreciate it, Brian. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. So glad that we're here again together. Scott and I talk all the time about what we're doing for operational issues in many different facets. But today we want to hone in on RX to Live and an amazing product that has been developed that is being utilized by many of our doctors, many of our patients throughout the entire system, but more importantly, why it's being utilized and why this is such an important topic. So, Scott, before we jump into the actual discussion about the device, the monitoring, the digital monitoring that we want to talk about today, tell us a little bit about RX to Live and what RX to Live does and how people can learn more about the company.
Great. Thank you. So yeah, RX to Live is a company that has been around for several years. We began back in late 2016. We're based out of Lehi, Utah. Our goals are to improve patient care and improve opportunities and service opportunities that practices have to improve those patient care without really increasing manpower or staff needs or additional costs to a practice. So our goal is to always be looking for those products and services that make sense, that a practice can use, that they can integrate to improve a continuity of care within their practice and and bring them revenue, but not increase all the extra work. So more of turnkey systems. We've done that, we do that, and our practices, our providers love us for doing that. So We're happy to be talking about this digital program today. And so we'll get into that as you're ready.
Very good. Thank you for that overview. A lot of people don't know who RX to Live is, so that's good to know. And website is rxtolive.com. RX, the number two, LIVE.com. RxTolive.com if you want to know more about this service or any of the other services that RxTolive offers. Today, we want to talk about remote patient monitoring. Remote patient monitoring has been around for a few years. Normally, it's a way to transmit data electronically from a patient so that the physician on the other end or the healthcare provider at a different location can assess and make recommendations on that particular patient's health and well-being. So it's remote because the patient is not doing it there at the practice, not measuring their wellness or their vital signs at the practice, or doing it remotely. And then it's uploaded so that the medical professional can take a look at it. Some of those things that remote patient monitoring that we've learned about, and Scott's going to jump into some more detail about, is it's monitoring vital signs, exercise habits, sleeping habits, blood pressure, blood oxygen levels. What else, Scott? Heart rate, stress levels, anything else?
Did you say oxygen levels? Probably did.
Yeah, blood oxygen levels. Yeah. Oh, and body temperature as well. So there's several things that this little device will help the patient and the physician understand as it's transmitting that data. But remote patient monitoring is what we want to talk about today. So do you want to add anything else to what remote patient monitoring actually is or does, or you want to just jump right in?
Well, I'll mention that it originally, CMS, Center for Medicare Services, called it remote physiologic monitoring. So it's collecting physiologic data, and remote patient monitoring seems much easier, and it's known by the acronym RPM. But it's the physiologic data is used to develop and manage care plans and treatment plans for individual patients, and it for chronic condition patients as well as acute condition patients. So it can be used for both, which differentiates it from some of the other CMS programs that exist out there. So overall, it improves the continuity of care for the patient while they're not in the doctor's office.
Okay, so continuity of care is obviously a benefit to the patient. It's also kind of a benefit to the physician too, so they know how their patient is reacting to certain things in life and how their health and well-being is. But how does the patient actually benefit from this particular program, and why is it so important for their health?
Okay, well, there's a wide range of benefits really for patients and for providers alike, but between visits with their physicians, RPM provides that continuous care opportunity so that a doctor can look 24/7 at a snapshot of a patient's physiologic data that's all recorded into the cloud. The physician has opportunity to look at that, but he can see what's happening with that patient when that patient in between visits. I'll give you an example. My father, he used to have to go to a cardiologist once every 6 months, and they would do a battery of tests there. And so what RPM could do in the meantime is it could be showing that doctor, that cardiologist, hey, what's his heart rate? What's his pulse ox? What's his beats per minute? And then we're not playing so much catch up in those 6 month intervals and during that 6 month interview. But overall, the benefits for a patient, it's going to reduce overall medical costs, visits to the hospital, visits to the ER. Some medications may be able to be adjusted more succinctly and more detailed. And so overall, it's going to save the patient money. It's going to save the entire system money. And it's less of a burden on the patient as well, because they won't have to be going to those ERs and waiting in those lines. And so it's just a great system, great benefits for the patient.
Now, not only is it cutting down on frequent visits to the ER, to the emergency room, and the time that is having to be, kind of wasted there waiting to be seen. We've all been to an ER in one form or fashion or another in our lifetimes. There's usually a long wait, but a lot of times the elder patients will also look at, you know, they can't get into their, see their doctor right away. You know, we all want to see our doctors a lot faster than we're usually given the opportunity to. Sometimes we're told, yeah, you can't see the doctor for another 30 days. Let's schedule you 30 days out. That's part of the problem with the expensive nature of having to go to the ER, because normally the patient's going to feel like, well, I've got Medicare, I'll just go there. That what they're forgetting about, or maybe not contemplating, is that ER visit is several thousand dollars. So when you mentioned that it's saving the system money, that's just an added benefit to the entire system, which quite frankly, all of us should be aware of, because we are part of the system, right? I mean, we're paying our, every time you see your paycheck, there's money coming out of your paycheck, if you're a full-time employee, to pay for Medicare, future Medicare. But right now they're using the money so that they can pay for current Medicare needs. And part of those needs are the patient feels like, I'm just going to go to the ER and it'll get covered. And so when you, it's a good point that you brought that up. When I asked the question, how does it benefit the patient? It also benefits the entire system, which we are part of the system. We're the taxpayers that fund that program. Is that right? Is there anything else you want to add to that?
No, exactly. And you go to an ER when you've let things go to a point that you're very debilitated, or you've lost motor skills or whatever, because you've let things go. And all of a sudden you find yourself in a skilled nursing facility for a month or two to recover and to recuperate. And that's just a huge burden on you and your family and the system as well. So this all works together to keep people out of those kind of situations.
So if a patient is wearing this device and is transmitting data back to so that the doctor can see what's going on, it's in the doctor's portal. What about any interaction physically, or even though it's remote, even though it's not in the office, it's done by phone or by telemedicine or telehealth? Who's talking to the patient? Who's you know, asking the patient how they're doing? How does that work?
Oh, great question. So I have one on as well. So, you know, I subscribe to that that wonderful watch, and I look at my data on a daily basis. And but your question is perfect, because it doesn't end with the watch and it taking readings. And then it's fed via Bluetooth to an app on a smartphone. Then the smartphone information is then captured or collected by a larger portal or back-end system that doctors can review on a daily basis. And in conjunction with working with the doctors, RX2Live has secured agreements, management agreements, if you will, or strategic partner agreements with certain companies that can service the whole program. So what we have is we have not only the software and the technology to capture all that, but we have care coordinators or care managers that reach out on a monthly basis, every week if needed, to the patient. And a phone call is made. And the phone call goes something like this. The discussion is had about where their physiologic data is that we're seeing, that's being submitted and being collected. If there's any spikes, we want to see that. We want to talk to the patient about that. You know, if blood pressure is high or stress levels are high or they're not getting enough sleep, we're going to see that. Or pulse ox isn't high enough, we're going to see that. And so that conversation can be taken place on a monthly, weekly basis. And additionally, then that information the doctor can look at. And in the case of a spike or a red alert or some sort of red flag, their care coordinators would then reach out to the practice and say, you know, tell them that their patient might be struggling a little bit. So it would alert that doctor immediately to maybe a pending situation that could get much more worse.
So those are part of some amazing advancements that have been made in this, not only the technology, but also the coordination of care. And so the doctors are also compensated to provide this type of service to the patients. Is that is that another benefit, I guess, that we could put down? The doctors are going to receive reimbursement for this. Is that part of those advancements that have been made with the remote patient monitoring program?
Absolutely. That's a great point. To the point that where it started with one CPT code 3 years ago, that's been superseded now by a series of four to almost six or seven CPT codes. Now, a CPT code is what CMS creates and assigns certain parameters to it, certain guidelines to that code, what makes it eligible to bill that code. And then also every year they evaluate their payouts on those codes. And it's grown substantially over the past few years for RPM. CMS obviously loves this program, wants it to continue working because they're expanding the whole code structure and the reimbursements that can be associated with those for a practice, for a provider.
Right. I like that. Well, we all know that we've seen people wearing these types of devices from the Fitbit to the Apple Watch to, I believe Samsung has a device as well. What type of, maybe it doesn't matter, but this device that we're looking at, does it play music? Does it answer phone calls? Can you text on it? Or is it specifically for medical?
This particular device is designed for that, for capturing physiologic data. You're not going to use this to use Spotify on. You're not going to use it to answer the phone or get text messages. It's designed to collect your personal data, which could save you in the long run.
So medical professionals can actually bill for this. Have you seen how much can they make? You talk about how the patient is being talked to throughout the month. So there's a billable cycle every month. How does this benefit the medical professional in a sense that they can bill for this time spent collecting the data, uploading the data, assessing and reviewing the data, making recommendations on that? What does it look like for the practice? Are they able to generate a nice income if they had, a couple hundred patients on this program?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So if you think about it, with four codes, the four main codes that are associated with it, talk about continuity of care and enrollment and connecting the device, and then capturing 16 readings on a monthly basis, at least a minimum of 16 readings on a monthly basis. And so if you do that and you have a couple of hundred patients that are using this on a monthly basis, based on those revenues that are associated with those codes, a practice could be receiving revenues between $20,000 and $30,000 in any given month for a couple hundred patients. Now, if you talk, we have one doctor that's just really aggressive. He wants to get to the 500 level, threshold level.
Wow.
And if he does that, he's talking $50,000 to $60,000 a month.
That'll make for a good office party at the end of the year.
For sure. Maybe everybody will have a new stethoscope.
And maybe a bonus or two thrown out there. Nice.
That's true.
Well, that's exciting. So patients are obviously benefiting. Our system is benefiting, meaning us, the taxpayers. Doctors are benefiting. Well, what does that encounter actually look like? If there's interaction with the care coordinators and the patients and even the doctors, what does that whole interaction look like? Give us an example of how that works so that the doctor can view or review the data, but also the interaction between maybe the care coordinator and the patient. How does all that come together?
Sure. So it all works in synergy with each other, but the information is shared from the practice, who their eligible patients are. And we need to remember that with the remote patient monitoring program, it's not just Medicare-based patients anymore. There are a number of private payers, commercial insurances in the country that will pay for remote patient monitoring. So please keep that in mind, because that 200 to 500 patients, and all of a sudden, if a practice has 25 or 2,600 patients, which is a normal size practice, that just opens up the floodgates there on who can qualify for that, for the RPM program. But going back to the actual flow, once we have the information from the practice, who their eligible patients are, who they want us to focus on, then we work with the service provider, our strategic partner. We get all that information over to them. They bring a lot of information into the back end on behalf of the doctor, so that it makes it more streamlined for the patients be able to engage, to connect, to use the product, to actually use the watch. There's just a few small steps that a patient will need to do on a daily basis. So that information is collected and captured and gets uploaded to allow their doctor to see that. But, and so then the care coordinators are going to reach out on a monthly basis. They have a care plan that's been established. Your doctor has established a care plan. They're going to be talking to Mary or George or whomever it might be and say, Mary, you know, I just wanted to touch base with you on a couple of things on your care plan. Here's some of your physiologic data that we've been capturing. Are you having any issues wearing the device? Is there any concern with the actual usage of the device? Well, let's talk through that if there is. And so they'll spend quite a bit of time on a monthly basis on the phone with the patient. Quite honestly, it could be anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes or maybe 50 or 60 minutes a month if there's a need and there's more of a complex situation where we have to work with the patient. But all of that is documented. So in the software, in the technology, all of that time, all of the discussion, all the key points is documented. So then when Mary either goes into her doctor, there's not been an issue, Mary goes into the doctor says, hey, well, let's take a look at your RPM program. Let's see what's going on with your data. And so he can take a quick glance at kind of maybe the timeline of the last few weeks or the 16 main data points. And he says, yeah, looking good. It aligns with what we're finding in the office today. So you're doing well. Let's stay the course and keep working that path. And in the case, like I mentioned earlier, if there is a red flag, a doctor or a practice would be alerted immediately, and they'd be able to call that patient in or visit with that patient and help them get over that little hurdle. So it all works in synergy. And then at the end of the month, all of that data is collected, is put into the proper CPT codes for billing. Billing consultation is done, or billing reports are done, and they're sent to the practice. The practice inputs it right into their electronic medical records, submit it for billing, and we rinse and repeat. We do it over again.
Very nice. Very good. That's a great overview. But that's a lot of work. And we all know that doctors aren't going to have time to do this. So physicians or practices will outsource this type of a service most of the time to companies like RxToLive. What is RxToLive actually doing to help get the doctors set up in the beginning? What type of training is involved? What type of, are they signing their lives away? Do they have to pay a bunch of money up front? How does that actually look for the practice? If we've got any doctors listening in today, how much do they have to pay getting started? What does the device cost? What training is involved? How does all that come together since they don't have the time to put it together?
Are you talking my fee or their? No, I'm kidding. No, actually, the beauty about this program is there's no upfront cost to a practice. It doesn't cost them anything to get started. Matter of fact, this device is free to them, free to the patient. And we provide it to the patient free of charge. There's no upfront cost to the doctor. It's all about getting our patients onto the system, getting them on that path to health. And then with the CPT codes and the reimbursements that come back in, then a small percentage is paid back to our third party, our strategic partners that actually do the bulk of the work. The beauty about the program is we can even onboard and enroll the patients if a practice wants us to. That probably is the fastest way to do it. But a lot of practices like that personal touch with their patients to be able to discuss with them what that program is. And so if they enroll the patients, then there's a little bit of upfront time there. But overall, the program pretty much runs itself throughout the month. All they have to do is take a look at any key items that may be alerted to, and then do the billing at the end of the month or beginning of the next month. Pretty simple program.
Very good. Making it as simple as possible for the doctors to get involved and to start helping their patients more. You're removing a lot of the obstacles is what one of the messages that can be taken away from this discussion today is when those obstacles get removed, more people get the help that they need and they get it faster.
Right.
And having to work through a bunch of red tape.
Now you asked about training though. Let me
go ahead and talk about that.
So training is really 30 to 45 minutes on a Zoom call or a webinar. And we would talk to the key people that would be involved, the front lines that would be involved with the patients, because those are the ones that are going to get the questions, right? And the doctor will too, but it's those front lines people, the people out in your front office who are going to get the phone call, say, hey, these people keep calling me. Well, that's fine. This is a program that you agreed to be on and you said yes to. And so please take their call. It will help you in the long run. So those are the kinds of things. And I'd say that the percentage, by the way, if you have a couple hundred patients, the percentage is minuscule that'll happen. You might get one or two calls a month, if that. Yeah. If you've done the original onboarding correctly, and if we've all done it together.
Okay, excellent. Well, we know there's a lot of doctors that are in the U.S. today. How many of them are actually taking advantage of this program for their patients? Is there a large number or still relatively small?
Well, it is a fairly new program, Brian. And so, you know, it's only 3 years old and it does take time for people to not only learn about it, but to become convinced by it, that it is an advantage type program for their patients. So unfortunately, there's not as many doctors as there should be in the country right now. It's growing every day. Let's just talk Medicare patients. We have well over 40 million Medicare patients in the United States today. And a very, very small percentage, I'd probably say less than 5% are involved in remote patient monitoring. So with that said, there's a lot of opportunity for these doctors to get involved. And you don't have to be a primary care physician to get involved with this program. Specialist, cardiologist, urologist, anybody that needs to track some of this physiologic data should be involved as a physician to help your continuous care for your patients.
Okay, very good. So this sounds, for the listeners, it should start to paint a clear picture for you that this sounds like a kind of a done for you program. What about additional information that someone, you know, if they've got a loved one and they'd like to have them on this program, or got doctors listening, or any other medical professionals or caregivers listening in, heaven forbid, even patients that would like to be on this program, obviously they can visit the RX to Live website. That's again, RX, the number 2, LIVE.com, RX2Live.com. They can visit the website, but are there white papers that are available too, and or some type of other deeper dive data points that they can find that any of the representatives from RX to Live could send to them?
Absolutely, and that's a good point, Brian. RX to Live is headquartered out of Lehigh, Utah, but we have representation clear across the country. So the beauty, you're not on an island when you're out there doing this as a practice. We will have representation probably within 5 minutes to an hour or two from where you're at. And so those representatives can help you grow this business. Is it totally done for you, with the exception of a couple little things that I mentioned, you know, in creating the list and then reviewing the results? Everything else is pretty much done, pretty well for you. The guidelines, you know, provide simplicity for the patient to be able to get onboarded, to use the watch, and to just to be able to create or run the program on a monthly basis. So it's a great program. And I forgot your last question. I'm sorry.
Well, I think if any white papers or any other data points they could download off of the website, or that one of the representatives could send to anyone who's interested.
Yeah. And that's where I was going also with the representative. We have those people close to you. They can provide you a lot of white papers. And if you're an internet user, you can just type in remote patient monitoring for physicians and you could read for the next 40 hours. So that we do have white papers. We've collected a number of them that would be advantageous for you as our practice, as our provider. But the internet is full of information about RPM and the wonderful things that it's doing.
Let's take a shift here in focus. We've been talking about patients of physicians, mostly Medicare patients who benefit from this program. The system benefits from it. Doctors benefit from it. You mentioned earlier that there's also private payers, private insurance payers, and maybe even individuals who don't even want to be monitored every month. What, I mean, is there any type of a program that would work for maybe a corporation that has employees that they may look at this and they say, okay, well, look, I'm not a Medicare patient. I don't need to be monitored every month and there's not a doctor I'm going to go see. So they don't need to be reimbursed for it. What about the typical employee who's maybe even younger years that isn't really concerned about monitoring this? Could they take advantage of this type of a program? And maybe we could go over that list again of what is actually being monitored in their vital signs.
Okay. Well, let me speak to the corporate opportunities there. My son, he's 36 now. He works for a small company called Dell Computers.
One of the 50 small in the US, right? Yeah.
They have annually a challenge that they use these type of wearable devices for all employees. And it usually runs a month. And it has to do with activity and keeping, you know, blood pressure down and in good parameters, keeping pulse ox up, those kinds of things. So I'm mentioning a few of the things that it does collect: blood pressure, pulse ox, beats per minute, sleep patterns, activity levels, temperature. I'm probably missing one or two more.
Maybe stress level.
Stress level, right. And Dell does that on an annual basis. And then they give out prizes to their employees that participate, number one, and number two, the top tier of employees that actually have met their goals get additional bonuses, or not really bonuses, they're just prizes. But that's the kind of sets a model, doesn't it, for other corporations that have employees that end up sitting at desks all day long. Yeah. Or are driving, you know, or truck drivers that are stuck for 12 or 15 hours a day driving, and you know, things creep up, you know, health deteriorates when you're stuck like that in those kinds of situations. So those kind of corporations, I think any corporation could benefit from this, but those kind of corporations in particular can really benefit because their employees are so much more exposed to serious problems.
No, what I love about wearing this is not always checking to see what my heart rate is or all my vital signs and my blood oxygen level. What I love, I mean, those are great. Don't get me wrong. Those are, they're tremendous and they're exactly what's needed for the real purpose of remote patient monitoring for Medicare patients. However, go take it a step further and go back to talking about the employees or people that are sitting at their desk all day. I've found that this device is a motivator. When I look down and I see, oh, I've got 4,834 steps I've taken today. That's not enough. If your goal is 7,500 steps, you know, you've got 3,000 more steps you got to go take, which means I got to get up out of my desk and I got to go walk around. While I can maybe think more clearly as I'm walking around, I'm getting some additional exercise and steps in. That's one of the things that I like about this particular device. even though I'm not a Medicare patient, even though I'm not going to be monitored daily or monthly and then have somebody get reimbursement for monitoring me, I like it because it's I can see on a moment's notice how many steps I've gotten, and it certainly does become a motivating factor for me to get up off my hind end and go take a walk and enjoy maybe even the outside. So I think that's one other benefit that, you know, it's not just for the Medicare patients, folks. It's also for individuals who don't necessarily want to be monitored, don't need to be monitored, but definitely want to check in on their health and well-being. And as it's tied into the app, makes a tremendous way for people to look at. I'm looking at my app right now to see some of the other areas that, like, my blood oxygen level is 97%. My blood pressure is 121 over 77. My beats per minute are, my blood oxygen level just went up to 100. So it was 97, now it's 100. And my beats per minute are fluctuating between 68 and 71. So that's kind of cool to see all that information. What are your parting thoughts or ideas for remote patient monitoring that we can share with everyone today, Scott?
Well, I think that CMS sees the value of these programs. It's not just remote patient monitoring, but there's also principal care management and other programs that are that Centers for Medicare Services has developed or have developed over the past 5-6 years. They're obviously very keen on providing as much preventative medicine as possible. And these programs do that. And any preventative medicine then keeps the cost down, not only for the patient and the frustrations and the concern for the patients. My folks passed away a few years ago, but it was a revolving door in and out of ERs and skilled nursing facilities for 10 years with them. And I think had they had this kind of a device that would prompt them and motivate them to get up and do more, I think they would have had a higher quality of life the last 10 years of their life. And I think that that's the advantage that we're going to have. The more technologically savvy we are, or technology we have in our lives, I think it's going to continue to prompt us to be better. I don't always heed all those promptings, but it does prompt me to be better and motivates me to be better. And hopefully I'll have a better quality of life. And I think that's what all of us are hoping for.
Those are great, good parting thoughts. And once again, contact information, I'll let you provide the website. And if you want to give people your email address, you can reach you via digital communications too.
Absolutely. Thank you, Brian. And so, Rx to Live, RX2LIVE.com is the website. You can go and find out about Rx to Live and the products and services that we have there. You can reach out to us there also and submit an inquiry so somebody can reach out to you. But in lieu of that, you can also reach out directly to me. Again, my name is Scott Peterson. My email is S. Peterson, that's an S-O-N, at rxtolive.com. Or I'll even give you my personal cell phone number, and it's 801-717-5200. So 801-717-5200. I'd love to talk to you about this program.
Excellent. Scott, you've been a great guest, great information. This is a tremendous program. I definitely endorse it as well. Folks, you need to learn more about remote patient monitoring and why it's so important and how many lives it's going to save. I think you can understand that clearly now as we've gone through this discussion today. Scott, thank you. Appreciate you spending some time today on the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Brian.
Don't forget, everyone, you can always get a copy of my latest book, 8 Lifestyles of Positive People, or even Positive People Make Things Happen. You can get those on Amazon. You can also go to our website at where they're located at the publisher at positific.com, P-O-S-I-T-I-F-I-C.com, positific.com. If you'd like a personal autograph copy, just let me know. We'll get you the personal autograph copy as well. I want to thank you for tuning into HealthBeat today. Again, this is Brian Hazelgren. I'm going to sign off for now, but there's more to come. There's more tips. There's more innovative ideas. There's amazing guests like Scott Peterson that we've had on today, and healthy services and products that you want to know about to help you drive your personal health and well-being to a new level. So thank you again for tuning in to HealthBeat. Make it a great day.